Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1156. This is your host, Danny. And joining me for this episode, we have Pete Rock, man. What's up, Pete?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. We definitely got to talk because I've been playing Hades nonstop. And I know that was your game of the year last year.
I mean, that's like the only thing I really can hang my hat on. Is that, you know, I mean, I played it last year, you know, it was a surprise, right? I did not expect it to hook me. It's one of those games that obviously is out of my wheelhouse, right? I think somebody in our Discord as well said it, that, you know, it's not the game that they would normally pick up. Even though, like, you know, you can play it on every platform now, right? Before, it was limited to just the Switch and to PC. So if you weren't on one of those two, you really missed out. So the fact that now it's out on all platforms, I'm glad. I love going through my timeline and seeing everybody talking about it. It's fantastic to know that, you know, if this game had come out on all platforms last year, I'm curious how it would have ranked within yours or Paris's, game of the year discussions. Mm-hmm. I know. You know, Paris was talking about he wanted to get, you know, he wants to put more of that in his thing. And I'm curious, because it's coming out now for like the consoles, does it qualify for game of the year conversation again? Because it wasn't available to every platform last year, right? So. Mm-hmm. And I know Paris has mentioned Death's Door as his certifiable game of the year already. I'm curious, and I think you mentioned something like that too, like you really like Death's Door. I'm curious where that would sit. And, you know, I know it's still the early part of the show, so we can table that conversation. But I'm really curious to hear your guys' takes. You know, obviously Paris isn't here, but I would love to hear his and obviously yours.
Yeah. No, it's a good thing that we should definitely have that conversation once we were all together. Because here's the thing, I already have four. I already escaped four times, so I'm going for my fifth. And Rhee has also been doing a pretty good job with it. She's been playing it on the Switch version. And yo, last night she escaped within 25 minutes. I was like, wow, that's a new record. That's a beast mode. Now I'll tell you. What's my favorite weapon I've been using? I've been using the gun. I've been changing it around. That's the best advice I'll tell everybody, because everybody was hitting me up online saying, Danny, I can't do it. It's too difficult. Best thing to do, don't get used to just one weapon. Change it up, and there's going to be a time that you're going to find the right weapon that's going to be perfectly for you throughout the whole game. So just change it up. Experiment, and you'll find the right one. But the gun is my favorite one, Pete.
Really?
My favorite one. Yeah, and for Rhee, she uses the fist.
Okay.
What is it for you?
Aspect of Talos, I think is what it is, the fist for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Mine.
What is it for you?
For me, I think it's the Heartseeking Bow. Infernal Arm.
That's a good one.
It's been so long since I've played it, though. Like I ran through this like two or three times last year, so it's like I have to think about it. But yeah, I think it's Infernal Arm or something like that. It's such a strong weapon when it's, because it's a great ranged weapon, you know, and it's mm-hmm. really, really good for holding off foes. What else?
Yeah,
Excalibur the sword. That's a really good
one. You know, I tried. I'm terrible with that one. I am so bad with that one. So bad. The spear is pretty good.
Yeah.
I highly recommend the spear.
Aspect of Hades.
I can't remember the name. But a lot of people were hitting me up saying, Danny, you got to try out the shield. I'm like, shield is good because you could block everything. Mm-hmm. but I can't. It takes way too long for me. I love the weapons that I've been using. It goes fast, really, really fast. You know, so yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's definitely really good. The reason why I use the gun, because I shoot grenades, mm-hmm. and every time I use it, I could also get up to like 300, over 300 percentage of the damage to the enemies, and it goes really, really fast, especially the bosses.
Have you tried the Lucifer, something of Lucifer? It's like a rail gun.
A rail gun?
Yeah. Hold on. If I look it up real quick, I can...
Yeah, yeah, look it up. I just know the names. I don't know the name. I just look at the weapons and visually, that's the only thing I know.
Aspect of Lucifer. But, is what it's called.
Aspect of Lucifer. The
aspect
okay.
of Lucifer. Right. Yeah, it does monster like AOE AOE damage. Mm-hmm. And then if you upgraded it all the way up to Infinity Chamber, it's literally unlimited ammo. And you're just
yeah, like, that's the one I use.
Okay,
I
so use the that. Aspect of Lucifer, it's the same one. It's the adamant rail.
It's the same gun. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the one. Yeah. It's stupid. It's so stupid good. Powerful because it does such a monster area of attack. It's
yeah. Okay. Yeah, crazy long intro of Hades. Thank you, Hades. Shout out to Private Division that sent me a package because they're the one distributing the physical version of the game.
Okay.
So yeah, you could go out to the stores, buy it if you want. They sent me the Xbox version. I know PS5, PlayStation 4 came out also. So yeah, take advantage. It's a really good game. Really good game. Highly recommend it. All right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for GamerTag Radio, subscribe, follow us, post a review. And also, I've been saying, Pete, for a while, people want questions for us to answer fan mail. They have to send questions. We've been getting questions, but it's questions that we already answered already multiple times in the past. So I don't want us to just repeat ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Like answering the same thing over and over. So look, guys, be creative. Send us some questions. Send up some comments. There's stuff that you agree, disagree. Send it to us. And here's how you could be part of our segment or episode of Fan Mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Yeah, Pete, I love answering questions from the listeners.
Hey, we've said it in the past. Sometimes the most interesting shows that we have are the ones that we just go, I don't want to say off script, but we just rely on the community to give us our topics. Because a lot of times, I mean, with the three of us on the show, we you know, this, and especially in times like this, where there's not a lot of content or there's not a lot of news to discuss, listening to the communities or having our listeners contribute to the show makes it a little bit more worthwhile because you're answering questions that they have but don't have a voice or a platform to actually ask. So it's some of the I think some of our best shows have come as a result of questions, questions from the community and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, we also had debates. I'm talking about for like the whole hour just because of one question. We've done that in the past. No, it's good. Everybody just send questions, because to me that's my favorite part, when we answer questions from the listeners, man. So I love that so much. All right, so let's go with the topics. Pete, we talked about Hades.
Okay.
We're going to move on. But I know you and Paris pre-ordered a Steam Deck.
Yes, sir.
So I saw a tweet from the head of Xbox, Phil Spencer. He's been testing out the Steam Deck, and he says the Xbox games works well with the device. And also talked about xCloud in there. It's looking good. Like as of right now, I've just been waiting on people like you and Paris and just friends that are also planning to get this in the future. I just want to get feedback from everybody about battery life and how is it playing with the device and everything. So I'm one of those like wait and see. I'm not just gonna go and pre-order right away. You know, so I'm gonna wait until you guys give me the feedback once it comes out. But hearing this news, you know, games like from Xbox, you know, from Phil Spencer talking about it, and I know there's other content creators have been also I think they've been getting like hands on with it now for the past week or so. I've been seeing a lot of videos on Twitter, but also on YouTube. What are your thoughts about the device so far from new feedback from people that they've been posting about it?
It's difficult, right? Because, you know, it's and I'm going to try to take off my media, like my games media blogger content creator hat, right? And try to see it from the consumer's perspective, who doesn't get, you know, who doesn't have either the accesses or, you know, the wherewithal to just search for stuff like this. I like the fact that I can install anything I want on it, but my concern when I see tweets or sponsored content from folks who have had a chance to see it, they only see it in a, they've only seen the product in a controlled environment, right? I want to see how it performs on the train for 3 hours, right? Like, how much is my battery going to drain? Is there going to be a network connect, you know, a network connection to it? Does it drain because it's constantly looking for signal, things like that? I'm fairly certain in today's day and age, because we've seen it on phones, on tablets, we've seen how well games perform in this day and age. I mean, there's some caveats, obviously, because of, you know, hardware constraints, etc. But I'm curious to see how well these games are going to really play in a real world environment, whether, you know, I'm on a train or a bus, we're on an airplane, you know, traveling to wherever. How well is that going to really perform in a situation like that? The fact that I can take either the baked in SteamOS, I think it's version 3 is what they're pushing for this new device, and play games directly from the Steam store, or give me the opportunity or the option to install my own OS, whether it be Linux or, you know, Windows OS, and then be able to throw on like the Epic Game Store or the Windows Store, and be able to still be able to install games or play games through the browser. You know, and use Game Pass, you know, use xCloud for gaming, I think is definitely a step up from where we are from a portable game unit perspective. Obviously, the Switch has, you know, probably the largest player base these days, and it's outside of the mobile space. But if I can go and take all 463 games on my Steam title, on my Steam
catalog. That's a lot of catalog, games. Jesus Christ.
And utilize either xCloud or use my own Windows device application. I mean, my own Windows catalog of or inventory of games that I've purchased in the past. At that point, it's not a catalog or inventory issue. It's a performance issue, and I'm very curious to see how well this is going to perform. Obviously, using a cloud based solution for browser play, we've seen how well we've seen the fruits of that over the last 8-12 months, right? But now it's like, how well is it going to play on baked in hardware and or on this device? And I did prepay for the 512 gig NVMe tier 3 one, but I'm really curious to see how, and I don't want to say how poorly because I don't know, but I really want to see what that 64 gig, that first tier one, that the lowest tier, the 399.
Yeah.
I want to see how that performs on those SD cards, because traditionally those don't perform very well. And I mean, I remember trying to play games on an Android off of the SD card, and you don't get the performance. Yes, things have improved and speeds have gone up, and performance has most definitely improved on things like this, but I'm really curious to see how it's going to perform on that lower tier, because that's the one I think might end up selling more just because of the lower price. But as you know, Paris and I had spoken about in the past, that actually I think it was you and I had spoken about it when they first came out, it was that the 512 gig unit was the one that sold the most. So we'll see over time how those numbers average out. You know, is the tier three unit going to be the high selling one, or is that low tier one going to start creeping up in numbers over time?
So what was the reason, like, what made you wanted to pre-order it? Because was it just the moment hype, or just a fan of Valve and Steam, or what? Like, because here's the thing, Pete, you're kind of worried, but what was the reason for you to pre-order? Like, for me, I'm just waiting. I'm not worried or anything. I know it's going to be a good device. I just want to wait and see, because my experience that I had with the Steam Machine, mm-hmm. you know, and I get it's a different type of device, but I'm just waiting. That's all. And if I do plan to get it, I'm probably going to get the tier two, maybe tier three, but I will never pre-order the tier one at all.
Why?
More of like space and just what people were saying also about like speed and a couple other things. I'm like, I'd rather go with the second or third. Just go all out.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? But, honestly, but for you, why you pre-order it then?
And
if you're kind of worried.
That is first and foremost the reason why I went with the tier three version. Why I decided to just go ahead and pre-order it. A, it's a pre-order. I can cancel my pre-order, you know, anytime, and I'm out $5 if that, right? I still get my money back. It doesn't matter. And according to the mail that I got, I'm not going to get it till Q3 of next year. I'll probably have forgotten about it. I'll probably just show up on my doorstep and, oh, look, I got a Steam Deck.
Quick question. I'm sorry. Tier one is the one that's going to come out first, and then tier two and tier three is after.
Because yes.
I've been hearing from people that a lot of them are getting it in next year.
Right.
So that's a long time.
The tier one is supposed to come out holiday of this year. Supposed to come out, right? Obviously, it's Gabe. It could come out next year. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a pass regardless. Tier two is spring, summer. And tier three is the summer, fall. I'm in Q3. That's when I'm expecting it. Whether it actually comes in tier three of next year, who knows? It'll probably come in the Christmas time. But the main reason, outside of, you know, just the quick, $5 presale, I bought into the hype, because knowing how much of a catalog of games that I have, knowing the amount of travel that I have coming up, just as part of the daily rigors of my job, and you know, taking the train here and there, it's just the perfect solution for me to play the games that I'm going to commonly play on the road. Now, will I be able to play PUBG on the built-in controls as well or as close as I normally do with this thing? Unlikely. I'm going to ruin my KD. You know, I'm going to ruin my 1.16 KD ratio or whatever on PUBG, but whatever. It's for things like that. Or, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, I can play Hades on that unit. I can play Fireteam, you know, Elite, you know, the Aliens game, things like that. I can play games like that that don't require me to have, that might be more suited towards, you know, a controller than it, you know, perfect example, Death's Door. Death's Door is a perfect example of something that, while yes, I can use keyboard and mouse, that game really plays a lot. That game plays much better with a controller-based input. So for a game like that, I can sit there on the train on a 2-3 hour trip to wherever, and I can just play that and just disappear for a few hours. Or I can, you know, when I have to travel, for example, I'll be out in a few weeks to go back to the States. I'll be on the airplane playing that for a few hours. Things like that is why it's why, in my opinion, a device like the Steam Deck will work out, in my personal opinion. You know, obviously, you know, you have a longstanding history of playing portables, so you love it. Obviously,
I love that.
I'm going to be curious though. Are you going to blow out the Steam OS and install Windows so that you can use xCloud?
No, I think you could still use the browser without installing Windows, because that's what I did with the Atari VCS. I don't know if you've seen the video.
I saw the video.
But
yeah.
Yeah, so I was experimenting. Like, all right, there's a couple of things. Listen to my the previous episode, because I talked about like the things that I didn't like about the device,
right?
Besides price and all that stuff. But the one thing that I did like is I connected Google Chrome through there, and I played xCloud, no issues, zero lag. Everything was running smooth. And I was playing for like a good 2.5 hours. I played Halo 5 and Gears 5. Now, if you're traveling, Pete, there's no way you're going to get xCloud on a plane. That's not going to happen at all. But if you download these games, like let's say Halo, Horizon 5, you know, Halo Infinite, PUBG. Well, PUBG is only online game, so you can't really play off offline. But games that you could play offline, hey, I'm all in. Like, I'll definitely would do that. Dude, I have so many games on Steam that I purchased when I had the Steam machine. And I have games that I purchased using the PC now. But, I would definitely would use that. Now, is that going to make me stop playing the Switch? No, because there's going to be exclusive games only on the Switch. That's not going to be available on Steam Deck, you know. But the thing that I do appreciate about Steam that I discovered during the Steam machine days, I discovered so many indie games, And I think this is what is going to help more games from the indie side. I think it's going to sell a lot because of the handheld device, you know. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool about that. Now here's the question that I have for you, Pete. What is the first game that you're planning to play on that device? Once you get it at home, okay, you already have it. You're going to launch the first game. Which is the first game you're going to launch?
If it's out by that time,
yeah,
I would say I just got the notification for it, so I'm fairly certain a game like this will be out there, but maybe Frostpunk 2. Again.
Frostpunk 2. Why? Why that game?
So the first Frostpunk came out, I think, 2 years ago. And it was a really solid single player type experience. It's a game that I can play on a trip that I'll use it. I'll use that more so than like if I'm sitting here on the couch at home, because I can always just jump on my PC, like seeing the video. Couch is literally right behind me. Just jump over here to play my games. But over there, and since I don't traditionally play a lot of retro type games, like I won't go back like a year back or 2 years back into my catalog, I'll likely play a single player campaign type experience locally there. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll run through the campaign on the new Halo Infinite, because it should be out by then, right? Hopefully. But
yeah.
I mean, or who knows? Maybe I'd jump back into Hades and play it there, right?
Because you have your saves. Saves there, right?
Well,
yeah.
Not from the Switch.
Oh, I thought you got it from Steam.
No, I got it on the Switch.
Well, I forgot to tell you, there is, okay, for the Switch version, there is a cross save you could do through the Epic. I think it's through the Epic Store. I can't quite remember, but you could transfer your saves from the Switch to your Epic account.
Interesting.
You can't do that with the console's version at all.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Now, I want to mention this very quick, because I know Cool Sick, this is from the chat, guys, for those who are listening, but Cool Sick 72 asks if Phil installed Windows to play Game Pass. And Paris, he's on the chat, he said that Phil used the browser for xCloud, which that's what I said too. You know, I knew that was going to happen, you know, to use the browser. Now, I'm wondering what type of browser the Steam Deck comes with. Is it Google Chrome?
Because it's going to have its own proprietary. If it follows anything like it did, it'll probably use the same browser that the Steam client uses on Windows, if I recall correctly. They'll have their own baked in client. Who knows? It'll probably use Chromium or the Chromium WebKit for that. So it's likely it'll be something similar. That's my assumption. Again, I don't have hands-on, and I don't think anybody's talked about that since. So I'm just going based on what the Steam client on Windows uses, as well as the reports from and all the stuff from the original. And
yeah.
Paris is in the chat saying Chromium. So,
okay. Yeah. So, it's easy. Go to xbox.com/play and xCloud will be available there and you can just start playing your games. Now, I did mention on our previous episode that if you have the Xbox controller connected to the VCS, it's easy to control it. If you don't have an Xbox controller, it won't work at all. So you need to have that connected there. So I find that super strange that I can't use the controller of the VCS. Because here's the thing from that device, Pete, there's different apps that you could use, right, to watch movies and so on, right? Mm-hmm. It says before you download the application, it says what type of controllers you could use. So it could be mouse and keyboard,
right.
Mobile device, and some of them will say controller, like the regular controller.
Right.
So I could use the controller to browse Twitch, but I need a mouse and the phone to browse YouTube, which is weird as hell. It's super weird. I find that annoying because the majority of people don't have mouse and keyboard if they buy like a VCS. Only the hardcore are probably going to connect it there and use that, right? But the majority of the people, they just want to have that as a console. They don't see this as like a computer at all. And that's the part that I'm like, oh, man, like Game Pass works so well for this. So pretty, like, so good. But you need to have a phone connected. Once you type everything and you're on the official Xbox website, that's when you could use your Xbox controller to control which games you want or the games you're going to play, which is super weak. But
as long as you're connected wirelessly, it doesn't work.
No. Well, no, I have what are you talking about? The controller?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to. Yeah. Even Bluetooth doesn't even work. I don't know. You're paying $399 for that device.
Or that's a lot. You can buy the Steam Deck.
Steam Deck. Wait, how much is a Steam Deck?
It's $399 for tier one, $499, and then $599.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's crazy. By the way, P. So I know Gamescom is coming up.
$399, $529, $649.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you.
Significant jump from tier one to tier two on price.
Yes. Very a big jump there. All right, so thanks to everybody that's been hitting us up in the chat. By the way, P, so Gamescom's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised about this. This happens almost every year. But Call of Duty Vanguard is supposedly that's going to be revealed on August 19th, a couple of days before Gamescom. Are you expecting anything big with this game, Pete, or what?
I don't know.
Call of Duty Vanguard. And who are the developers on this one? I'm trying to remember.
The developers?
Let me see. Yeah, the developers for this one.
Like who's appearing?
Who's working on this game?
On this game? Let me see. For Gamescom?
On this one. No, Activision, the Call of Duty Vanguard.
Oh, for Vanguard. God, we just talked about this the other day, too. I want to say Sledgehammer.
Oh, it's Sledgehammer. Sledgehammer. Yeah. I just looked it up. Sledgehammer. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. So supposedly it's going to be revealed August 19th at 10:45 a.m. Pacific, 1:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for Pete's side, 6:45 p.m.
Actually, for me, it'll be 5:45 p.m.
5:45.
Actually, no, it's 7:45 p.m. because I'm 1 hour off from British Standard Time. But yeah, that's the fact that they're going back to World War II again, and I get it. I know that Glenn Schofield has mentioned that he himself personally, along with the rest of the Sledgehammer team, did so much additional research for World War II, but I'm kind of over World War II already. Like, we've been playing World War II video games now for 30 years at least now. There's so many more. And this is why, one of the reasons why I loved how Black Ops went towards the Vietnam War. Cause there's so much, there's so many other eras in American, military time that it's, there's so there's so much more data that you can go off of, but people love going back to World War II, and I think there's more opportunity for them to go elsewhere on this, but you know, that's where they decided to go. That's what they wanted to do. I know that's a passion project for Glenn Schofield. Be curious to see how they integrate Warzone into it. They're talking about launching a whole new Warzone map now with this, set to be, you know, set in the Pacific, in the Pacific area. So it could be somewhere like a remote island or something like that, which will be cool. It'll be much larger than the current Verdansk map. That's what they're saying. But we shall see. I don't know.
We shall see.
Are you excited about it? I mean, I know I don't think I see you playing a lot of Warzone or a lot of Call of Duty.
Only zombies. That's the only thing I will play. I don't care much about the multiplayer at all.
Okay.
Just the zombies experience, you know, so I'll play games like that. A game like Back for Blood, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, but Warzone, I'm not good at it, man. I'm not really good at all playing that game. I'd rather play a game like Apex or something like that, you know. So,
you're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Rise, the science-based app that makes it easy to improve your sleep to increase your daily energy. I can't tell you how many different ways I've tried to get a better night's sleep. Melatonin, exercise at night, warm milk like when I was a wee lad, white noise machines, and even a 24-hour rain audio on a streaming platform. And let me tell you, the meds kind of work, but they leave you like really drowsy and useless the next day, and some just don't work. But here's the thing. Did you know that it's normal to feel groggy when you wake up and sluggish in the afternoon? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got to go run and get a Cuban coffee or something right after lunch. However, it is not normal to feel tired throughout the entire day. And that's an indication that you're carrying sleep debt, limiting your natural energy peaks and making your dips less productive. You can become a morning person. I didn't think I could be. And don't worry, you don't have to stop using your phone before bed, and you can do it without having to go out and spend loads of money on buying a new mattress, supplements, or weighted blankets and things like that. Rise uses a scientific fact-based approach to help you get the sleep your body needs. And it's built around two simple principles that sleep researchers agree with most, you know, what's most affecting how we feel and perform: sleep debt and circadian rhythm. Sleep debt is like the only sleep score that really matters. And the cool thing is that Rise tracks how much sleep you actually owe your body relative to your own unique sleep need, and how it helps you pay kind of like it back. It's kind of like a bank account almost. And then your circadian rhythm dictates your personal energy peaks and how it dips throughout the day. And Rise not only predicts how your daily sleep schedule is supposed to be, but also helps you take control. So every morning, Rise tells you how long you'll be groggy, when your peak focus times will be, and when you should start winding down for better sleep and more energy the next day. And with Rise, you can improve 16 science-based habits that will help you reduce your sleep debt and optimize your day based on your energy schedule. Look, I've found that I don't have to worry about putting the phone down 30 to 45 minutes before I go to sleep, thinking then, oh, you know, I've got, you know, this blue light stuff. Whenever I wanted to go to bed, my body just let me know. So here's the thing. Rise helps you realize your potential with real results, real productivity, real performance, and real well-being. Go to risescience.com/GTR and download the Rise app today to try it free for 7 days. Most Rise users feel the benefits in just 5 days. So try it today. And to learn more about your sleep and energy levels, plus feel way better, all for free during the trial. Whether you want to become a morning person or less exhausted during the day, or just improve your productivity and daily energy, Rise is the power behind your next best day. That's rise.com/GTR to try the Rise app free for 7 days.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
But by the way, I know people are probably wondering, when is the Xbox Gamescom 2021, the stream, which is going to be on Tuesday, August 24th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our very own Paris Liddy is going to be hosting that one. So, and I mentioned this on the show. You know, usually at Gamescom, there's always like maybe 1 to 3 surprises from Xbox. Usually the majority is always going to be E3, but I'm wondering what the type of things they're going to be showing at this one, you know. But I'm excited. I'm going to be streaming it, see what happens. And are we going to see Call of Duty on the Xbox stream, or this is going to be more of just like a solo thing? Because I think they still have that Sony marketing deal.
The curious thing is going to be that on paper, right? On Twitter, they've already stated that, you know, there's not going to be any new announcements, but how do you participate in a show as large as Gamescom and not drop a nugget or three, right?
Yeah. So, but you remember years ago, Pete, we were watching the Gamescom press conference from Xbox, right? And that's when they announced Tomb Raider. They never showed it or announced it during E3, and it was only through Gamescom that they say, hey, this is an exclusive for Xbox. And everybody was surprised. They're like, what? This is pretty big. But that was like one big announcement that they had. You know what I'm saying? So, but I do wish that Xbox do announce the official dates for Halo, for all the games that's coming out later this year. We'll see if that's going to happen. But stay tuned. I'm going to be watching on the stream.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what they'll be doing. I know, obviously, as you said, Paris is going to be hosting it. I am curious if they're going to give us more for like games, the games that they really haven't talked about a lot, or they didn't talk about in the last showcase, like Hellblade.
Like what? Hellblade.
Senua's Sacrifice.
I think it's too early. I don't see them talking about that game.
You don't think so?
And if they do, nah, I don't think so. I think that was enough for now, what they showed at E3. Yeah. Yeah, I don't see them showing anything big. Now, here's the thing, Pete. They never showed it on the main press conference. It was during the game showcase. That's when we got to see the behind the scenes of the video. So that means the game is way far, far away from like the release date. I don't see that happening anytime soon. Maybe next year we'll probably get to hear more about it, but yeah, we'll see. But by the way, so shout out to the Australian Classification Board. They rated Halo Infinite and Forza 5. So Pete, Forza 5 says it's going to be releasing on November 9th. November 9th, right?
Yep.
And Halo Infinite, supposedly a week later on. I'm reading this right here. It's already confirmed to be releasing on November 9th, right? But an Australian classification said it was coming out August 3rd.
No, released and Halo- its classification on August 10th. It's just...
August 10th. Okay, yeah, you're right. So a week later... do you think this is coming out still the 20th anniversary of Halo? You think so? Because that's two games in 1 month, November 9th.
So if we do the math, Forza Horizon 5. So if we do the math, November 9th, you know, the magic date is supposed to be November 15th. That will be officially
November 15th, yes.
The 20th, you know, the 20-year anniversary of it.
Yeah.
So we know that. And this is based on what Phil Spencer said. It doesn't have a confirmed date, but there's definitely a 3 or 4 week range where it could drop within that time period, right? And as we expected, you know, there is other games that are coming out that they're trying to match it up against, or they don't want either their launch to be impeded by, or they don't want to step on any of their own games being launched. Now, Forza Horizon 5, to not create any confusion between the titles.
No.
Totally different genre from what people are expecting with, you know, from what people would ordinarily play Halo. The question now is, will they launch it on date on the 15th to stick to that? I think from a marketing perspective, I think that would make more sense. just giving, you know, just being able to tie into the legacy of Combat Evolved back in 2001. Call of Duty still hasn't announced their specific launch title date or their launch date, so that's still the unknown.
I tell you the rumor. The rumor is early November, which is usually that also always happens. It's always early November for Call of Duty. But when was the last time that Xbox released two AAA games in a month during the holidays? I haven't seen that since. I'm trying to think. I think it was Viva Pinata and Gears 1.
Was that both Viva came out Pinata in November. A triple A title though?
They did. Here's why. They marketed really hard. They also had the cartoons. They had at that time, yes. Now, was it a success? Is mixed. But yeah, it was for Xbox. Yes, it was a triple A. They spent a lot of money on that. They even had toys, all type of things. So that's considered triple A because of the budget that they had for that game. And that came out the same month that Gears, the first Gears of War came out too. But now for this one is Forza Horizon 5 and also Halo Infinite the same month. That's interesting. Very interesting. Meaning is more content for Game Pass. They don't care much about the retail. That's not their priority. It's more about the subscription for now, I think, for them doing that. And it's two different genres too, Pete.
That's exactly why I mentioned it. That's why I don't know if there's a conflict for launching a shooter on or around the same time frame as a racer, right? A racing game. Mm-hmm. Can or will they? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Just because, me personally, I think sticking to that 20th anniversary date is an emotional thing for them. God, if Call of Duty launches, what would that be? November 2nd? That would be.
You know what I just realized? I just realized something. For Forza Horizon, is that the only next gen game?
Well, hold on. Or is it going to be? Let's get.
Oh
to
no,
that
no,
in a
it's
second.
Available. Okay, go for it. Go for
so
it.
If,
no, it is going to be on.
If Call of Duty launches early November, which would be probably November 2nd, right? Because it usually launches on or around a Tuesdays, right? That allows Forza to drop on the 9th and Halo Infinite gets that November 15th midnight release type date, whether you want to say November 15th or November 16th, it could be on or around there. And it makes it available for Black Friday the week later.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with that third week of November, sticking on or around the 15th. I'm going to stick. Me personally. Okay,
that makes
Again,
sense.
I could fall flat on my face and not know anything, but I'm going to stake my small reputation on that.
Look, both of those games, think about this, guys. Both of those games, Forza Horizon 5 and Halo Infinite, is also going to be available for Xbox One, Xbox Series, PC, and S Cloud.
Yep.
That's pretty big.
Absolutely.
Pretty big for X. Now, the question that I do have for Microsoft and even for Sony too, are they going to have enough consoles during the holidays? It's been a struggle this whole year so far.
And the semiconductor shortage is still ongoing. It's still a global thing. It's still affecting everybody. And it's not just us in the video games, you know, consumer space. It's affecting businesses. I mean, I can't get laptops outside of a 3 or 4 week window from major, you know, major manufacturers from a work perspective. The car industry, the automotive industry that's why cars are so expensive. Like, you can't go to a dealership and haggle like you used to be able to buy a car. Mm-hmm. That whole concept is out the window these days. The used car market, used boats sales, those are going through the roof. Everybody's experiencing 20, 30, 40%, you know, higher prices than they were just a year and a half ago prior to the pandemic. So I'm just seeing now people being able to get, you know, next gen consoles, you know, not frequently, not readily, not as easily as being able to go into your brick and mortar and buy one, whether it's here in Europe or in the States. That definitely adds to the difficulty in trying to make additional sales. I mean, we're what, August? So September, October, November, you've got three and a half months, you know, 3 months easily before we start hitting the real hard holiday season. But I don't know if that's enough to satiate the hunger for these devices.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of tough, man.
Yeah, man.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, let's talk about sponsor Bespoke Post. This summer, Bespoke Post is here to take your adventures to the next level with a new lineup of must-have box of awesome collections. Bespoke Post partners with small businesses and emerging brands to bring you the most unique goods every month. And actually, a couple weeks back, I got a package from the team over there, and they sent me a cool package where it's called the Weekender. It's a carry-on that I could go for travels, like for like let's say a weekend trip. I actually went to Podcast Movement in Nashville, and that's what I was using. I had my Nintendo Switch there, my clothes, sneakers, everything, my hoodies. And yeah, I got carried everywhere with me, man. Took it to the plane, and it was a very, very great experience. Love the quality, love the size, and it's perfect. But no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from travel and outdoor gear to breezy summer styles and grooming goods. Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Check it out. Go to the website. Check out my favorite of the weekend there, and you can see why I love this. And this is the perfect one, the perfect package for me for travel. And look, to get started, you take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories, and it's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. So GTR listeners, get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code GTR at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code GTR for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
It's going to be really tough. And yeah, you're right. There's people that have been posting videos or pictures of them finally got their PlayStation 5, finally got their Xbox Series console. But it was a mission for them to get it the whole year. The whole year. You know, but I do hope that on Black Friday, you go to a store like Best Buy and you'll see tons of consoles there available. You just go and pick it up and buy right there. I hope that happens. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But, you know, we'll see what happens, man. By the way, P, I'm very excited about this news, man. And I'm glad. Congratulations to Remedy. They said that Control, game that came out, I believe, like, what, 2 years ago or so?
Was it 2020?
I don't remember. I think it was 2019. Let's just leave it at that. But anyways, 10 million players already have gotten the game. That's just in all versions. And Remedy has been working on 6 projects. And the new big budget game, which is AAA, is going full production. I think, and I predict, is Alan Wake. It's definitely Alan Wake. If you've been playing Control. There's tons of Easter eggs of Alan Wake there. They even released a DLC for the game for Control that was all Alan Wake related. So, and they recently, a couple of years back, they got the rights from Xbox of Alan Wake. So, fingers crossed. Alan Wake is one of my favorite games that came out for the Xbox 360. Super dope. And I remember getting that game, and I went to Pete's house. And Pete, there's a video of you playing that, mm-hmm. and you were freaking out. Like, oh my God, it's pretty dope. Yeah, it's awesome. So I love it. Can't wait.
I know it's supposed to be set in the Control universe, this new title that they're working on. It's a four-player co-op PvE type game. So think maybe like a Back for Blood type situation, but in the Control universe. But like you said, they're working on six total games, and two of them are set within the Control / Alan Wake universe. There's Condor, which is the four player co-op, and then a free to play co-op game called Vanguard. Those are all code names, so that obviously those names are going to change.
But I prefer, honestly, I prefer the single player experience. I really don't care much about the multiplayer. It's cool, I'll try it out, but I'm all single player from Remedy. When it comes to single player experience, they're the best. One of the best. Actually, aren't they working on the FPS game? They're working on the campaign. What's the name of it, Pete? That you said you've been excited for it? Because you played, you heard about this was like a big game, I think is in Korea or in Europe, is pretty big.
Oh, are they for working the PC. On that? Was it Crossfire X?
Yes, the single player, the campaign.
Okay.
They're working on it, Remedy, yeah. We haven't heard anything about that game. Do you think we're going to hear anything during Gamescom?
We haven't heard anything about that or Bright Infinite. Was it Bright Infinite? I think it was.
My God, it's been so long.
The Bright Infinite game, that one was like one single guy working, like one person playing.
Yeah.
Doing totally the development different. Of that. Bright Memory is what it's called. Bright Memory.
And Bright Memory. But
Crossfire Bright Memory. X is, that game has been going on for 9 years now.
Forever.
Yeah. So
we haven't heard a word about that game since they announced it last year. They haven't said anything about it. I think if this game comes out, I think it's going to be sometime early next year, spring. I can see that as like a spring release. I don't see that.
Oh, man, that's 2007. it's supposed to be the console version of Crossfire, which came out in 2007.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, crap. Like you mentioned, the single-player campaign is being done by Remedy, and the multiplayer aspect of it will be the free-to-play multiplayer part is being done by Smilegate Entertainment. So that's...
Now, I do have a question for you, Pete, because I know in the chat somebody mentioned about Battlefield. Do you see yourself getting that game at all?
It comes out end of October. Battlefield?
No, Battlefield 2042.
Honestly, I'm traditionally a non Battlefield multiplayer person. Them not having a single player campaign for the last iteration, the last game that came out, I didn't miss it. I played maybe an hour of the multiplayer, an hour or two of the battle royale component that they put out. But I did
when that came out, was that 2 years ago?
That
2 years ago?
That was definitely before I left for Europe. So easily two and a half years ago, maybe even three.
Okay.
But I didn't miss that. Now watching watching the last few trailers has definitely ratcheted up the hype meter on this one. I am kind of excited seeing like jumpsuits, seeing the verticality, the going from building to building, seeing that it's not just two or three classes on the ground of shooting. Obviously with pilots, it's always different, but seeing everything that they have to offer, and it's not a massively open expanse type situation, but it's more of an urban environment, CQB. I'm not gonna lie, I'm on board. I will likely be there. I don't know if I want to say day one, but it definitely has my interest peaked, and I'm curious about it. I want to check it out.
So you you're probably going to wait for the reviews, and then that will make you your final decision based on that.
If I have enough friends on my playlist or in my Discord that are playing and sending me messages, I will more than likely be on there playing with them. And I do know, and there's likely a handful of y'all watching right now. So I will if they're all playing it, I will be there, you know, side by side playing with them as well.
Yeah, at the end of the day, guys, when there's a game that you see everybody's playing, like all your friends, that's the best part, playing with the community, with your friends, and try that out. You know?
And I've said it in the past. Mm-hmm. I enjoy my games, especially because I do a lot of multiplayer online. I don't have my friends online playing, I'm not gonna run out and jump on and try to find someone, because it's very difficult. This is just me as a gamer. It's very difficult for me to work through something like that and find people of a like mind who play the objective and not just run around lone wolf. Every game is a Slayer/team deathmatch situation. I'm playing for the objective. So if I know that I have a set group of friends that are going to play the game the way it should be played, in groups and stuff like that, absolutely. And I know not just in our GTR Discord, but I know in a handful of the other Discords that I'm a member of, that they're all looking, you know, they're all going to be playing this game. So
that's dope.
I'm looking forward. I'll likely be there.
Yeah. No, really, really cool. Let's see what else going on. By the way, so you already know this, P. I pre-ordered the Nintendo Switch OLED. I couldn't find the white one. That one is impossible to find online. Impossible. But anyways, so that's coming in October. And here's another game that I'm very excited about, because I play this PlayStation 4, also on Xbox, and now it's coming from the Nintendo Switch, and that's Tetris Effect Connected, and it's crossplay, which is exciting. So I'm super excited to play this again, and I'm going to buy this again for the Nintendo Switch, because I just love that game. I'm very, very excited to see that game on that console. I can't wait, man. So yeah, my brother, like we were talking about, playing with people that we know. Mm-hmm. This is the game that Ree, my brother, and I, we're gonna play it again. We've been trying to finish the campaign that they have in this, which co-op mode. It's called the Connected. It's super, super hard. So we're like in the last boss. So hopefully with this, the handheld version probably will help us out to finish the game. So we'll see. So it's coming out on October 8th. And this is during the time where the Nintendo Switch OLED is coming out. So this game originally came out back in 2018 on the PlayStation 5. And then last year it came out on Game Pass, which they added a new mode called Connected Mode, which is co-op and online multiplayer and everything. Because when the original game came out, it only had single player and that's it. So can't wait for this game to come out later this year. So we'll see.
Is that the boss level that Nano died, or he beat the hard level and then died right at the onset of the next mission because he wasn't paying attention?
Yes, that's the one.
Yes. I remember watching the video for that and laughing.
Yo, we were so far too. We were like, yo, because we thought we could completely finish the game, and there was another level that came up, and Nano wasn't paying attention. He never pressed the A button to say that he was ready. And for some reason, something happened with the game. I think like it stopped or something. I don't know. But I was freaking out. I'm like, no, it took us hours just to get there, man. But the soundtrack is so, so, so good, man. So, so good. By the way, another game that people should definitely download is Streets of Rage 4. They added some new content, new characters in there. Actually, I think 50 minutes of new music for this new mode called Survivor. It's like a roguelike game. You could play with a friend online, and it's very dope. Very cool. Tough as hell, but the music is on point. You should definitely try that out, because I have it for the Switch and also for Xbox. So, yeah, it's really, really cool. Really, really cool. Anything else, Pete? Anything else going on? Anything else?
I don't think so. Working on a few things in the background, but nothing just yet.
Yeah, you know what, guys? Look, you gotta understand that right now, a lot of these companies are keeping everything as a secret. They're waiting for Gamescom, you know. And once after Gamescom, that's when you're gonna see everybody doing a lot of preview events. There is a couple things coming up soon. I can't say when that we're gonna be covering. We're gonna be talking about on the show. So stay tuned. I have some surprises that I've been working on behind the scenes. Love doing that. And yeah, but right now it's very, very quiet because everybody's just expecting stuff to be announced later this month for Gamescom, you know what I'm saying? So, but I wonder, here's the thing that I'm kind of confused about. Like, I know PAX West is happening, Pete, sometime in September, and they're still doing it. Who's going to go there company-wise? I'm wondering if anybody locally from Seattle are going to go over there or not, because of everything that's been going on, you know, with cases here in the States. I don't know who's going to go over there, man. I really don't know.
It's a tough ask. Really don't. It's a really tough ask to try to put something like that. Kudos to them for trying. I know I've been watching my socials, and there are events popping up.
The New York Auto Show got canceled in New York.
Well, it's bigger than that. Think of this. League of Legends canceled their championships that was supposed to happen in New Jersey at the Prudential Center, I think in like 1 or 2 weeks. And they moved it so that it's only going to be in LA. They were going to move it all. They were going to move their entire production staff all to New York and New Jersey to get it done there. And they canceled it. And now it's going to be in LA so that all the people that are participating, all the Riot folks and everything, they're localized, they're at home, and they can control the environment. And I only know this. Obviously, you know, it's just going through our my social feed, and obviously we've got friends that work at Riot, but also through my son. Mm-hmm. You know, he was planning on heading out there. Actually, it's supposed to be I think it was late August. So yeah, like 1 or 2 mm-hmm. weeks. He's like, nope, I'm not going. I was like, so does that mean you're going to go to LA and check it out? He's like, nope. That's a lot to ask. Oof. I mean, to go to an event like that, obviously PAX is going to have a much larger foot traffic number. Still, that's a lot to ask, in this day. There's still a lot of people that are scared, a lot of people that are worried, a lot of people, you know, who have family or loved ones who either have a compromised immune system or just someone who could be potentially impacted negatively. And that's the last thing you want to do is get someone else sick just for your own personal enjoyment. Yeah. So it's going to be a much longer, if you thought, you know, last year was difficult, you know, this next year and a half is probably going to be just as much, if not worse, because there's the opportunity to be able to go and travel places. But you know, it's like, do you want to go through the hassle and the stress of everything? And it's just, we're so close, but we're not, right? We're so close to just finally getting over the hump, but we're not just yet. So
yeah, it is disappointing, man.
I would much rather people just be cautious and just not throw caution, caution to the wind and just say, F it, I'm going to go. No, I'd much rather they be, let's take a step back. Let's make sure. And then maybe try it a later date.
Because here's one thing that we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes, but here's one thing that we've been talking about now for a while. You know, we've been saying that the Game Awards in LA most likely will be in person. Mm. Now it's questionable. We'll see. But the reason why I was so excited was because that was going to be like the closest thing to seeing everybody besides E3. And now it doesn't look like it's going to happen. If it continues like this, I mean, who knows? Maybe from now till the end of the year, hopefully things will get better. But yeah, it sucks, man. Because that's one thing I miss is I really miss seeing people.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, like I went to a podcast movement last week, and it was weird. I'm not gonna lie, it was very like there was a lot of people there. You know, people were wearing masks. People were being careful. There was hand sanitizer everywhere, all that stuff, social distancing. And there's some that we knew that also were vaccinated, we're like, oh, let's just hang out. But it just felt weird. I think people are not ready for conferences or live events yet, man. They're not ready for that, man. Hmm. Maybe in the future, but because everybody was being really cautious, it felt weird, the vibe. Yeah, you know
true.
What I'm saying?
That's very true.
You know, so we'll see. But we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, thank you for listening and watching Gamertag Radio episode 1156. My God, Pete, 1156. You know what I just did the last episode? I put a part one. I plan to put more segments of it. But I put up your interview with the developer about Dead Space back in 2008. I put it up as a GTR retro. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting hearing that again. Really, really cool for the last episode. So I'm probably going to do it again for this one.
I did not listen to that one. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that with a strong cup of cringe.
No, it came up. Honestly, it was really good. You sounded good. You sounded really good. I put the first, because there's multiple interviews, and I put the first one. So I'm planning to post the second one again because I want people to learn the history about Dead Space. Honestly, we were the only podcast that was at the event. The only one, still to this day, at that event. So it'll be good to put it on the show so people could listen to it. And look, Dead Space is coming out in the future, and it's good to learn our history about it, man. You know, we have a long history of that game. Yep. And you were the one that were there. Pete was there. Very excited. Very excited to do it again. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Like I said, listen to our past episode. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're everywhere. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, or even better, post a review. It will help us out a lot. If you would like to be part of our fan mail questions, we need questions, guys. And if you do send a question, mention your name and your location. We definitely will put it on the show, and we'll answer it too with the crew here. Here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, we're going to wrap it up here. And it was great recording this with you, man.
Always.
It was a lot of fun. Cheers. Nice. What is that? What is that?
This is a local beer here in Switzerland. It's called Eckhoff.
Eckhoff. Large. Wow, that looks, I like that can. Yeah. It looks dope.
Pretty cool. It's really good.
Yeah, it's 10:30 in the morning here. I can't really.
That's never stopped you.
That's true.
This is the local brewery is in Lucerne. It's actually really good. These are all the leftovers from last night's event. So.
All right. So cheers to everyone, man. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.